It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's America's longest war. American troops have now been in Afghanistan for nearly 15 years. Over 2,300 Americans have died in the conflict. 8 years ago, then-candidate Barack Obama advocated focusing more on the war in Afghanistan with an eye toward enabling a stable Afghan government to take complete control of the country so U.S. troops could leave. However, earlier this year, the president announced the U.S. will maintain approximately 8,400 troops in Afghanistan into next year. So, the task of figuring out what to do about Afghanistan will be left to the next president. Joining us this half hour to discuss security efforts in Afghanistan, combating the Taliban, and the U.S.'s role in Afghanistan is the current ambassador to the U.S. from Afghanistan, Ambassador Hamdullah Mohib. Welcome to our program.
Well, thank you for having me, Ben.
The ambassador is in Des Moines this week as a guest of the Greater Des Moines Committee on Foreign Relations. Let's start off right now with recently reports that we've heard the Taliban has held informal meetings with Afghan and U.S. officials, the first direct meetings in more than a year after a process to halt the long conflict collapsed. How close is the restart of formal talks?
Well, Ben, the desire of the Afghan people has always been a peace process, and that's something that we have always engaged in. There is there are always efforts underway to try to begin peace talks. At this point, we also last month completed a peace deal with one of the insurgent groups, which increased optimism amongst other insurgent groups who also want to take advantage of the model that was presented to the Hizb Islami group to see if they can also negotiate a settlement. So we're working on that process, and hopefully more and more groups will join that process.
Mm-hmm. So the sticking points to restarting formal talks are that more and more insurgent groups are on board with it?
Well, there had been no precedence in Afghanistan on any kind of negotiation. So our peace deal with Hizb Islami presented the first model of what it could look like.
What is the Taliban's future in your country, in your country's government, possibly?
Well, the Afghan people want an end to this war, and we're doing everything as a government represented by representing the people to make sure that the Afghan people's desire is met. We've got to protect the Afghan public from attacks, indiscriminate attacks, and make sure that the Afghan sovereignty is maintained, but at the same time move towards a position where we can negotiate with those who perhaps have political grievances. Now, in Afghanistan, it's not just the Taliban. Amongst those groups, there are criminals, and there are also international terrorists who we cannot negotiate with. And they don't want anything from the Afghan government or the Afghan people. Their goals are completely different. But those who do have political grievances and could be integrated into the system, we're happy to do that and are open to negotiation.
Is ISIS, the Islamic State, present in Afghanistan?
There is a presence of what we call Daesh in Afghanistan, yes. And we have been clearing those operations with the support of our international partners, more specifically the United States. We had clearing operations in the areas where they are trying to form a presence, and it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned at the outset, the president, our president, gave us word months ago that the U.S. will maintain over 8,000 troops in Afghanistan into 2017. How are they working with Afghan troops? What is their role, and how do you see them meshing with the government troops?
So Ben, I want to first thank the American people for their continued support to Afghanistan, and then highlight that today we are fighting the same enemy that we began fighting against together to eliminate terrorism, not just from Afghanistan, but from the region and the world. And today we're doing it with very minimum support from the international community. Just 2 years ago, we had over 140,000 foreign troops, a vast majority of them were American troops that were fighting on behalf of the entire world. Today, it's the Afghan security forces that are taking the lead, that are conducting the operations and protecting the Afghan soil and people from terrorism, with support from the Resolute Support Mission, which includes U.S. troops, and they provide critical advice and assist us in our fight in operations against the insurgents and terrorists. We have been able to do that successfully with, like I said, with little support, and that support includes close air support in many ways, as we are still working on building our air force.
Mm-hmm. So recently, a group of former U.S. officials and experts issued a proposal for what they called an enduring partnership with Afghanistan, calling your nation a key front in a generational conflict against violent extremists across the greater Middle East. The group that I spoke of includes Generals McChrystal, Stanley McChrystal, and David Petraeus, both former commanders of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. What do you see going forward as the ideal Afghan-American partnership?
Well, we're looking at this as a problem that we're all working together to fix. Now, to do that, some long-term planning is required. And I think what the generals and the former representative, I think the letter you're referring to was also signed by former representatives and diplomats to Afghanistan, so ambassadors, mm-hmm. U.S. ambassadors to Afghanistan. And their recommendation was, if we're to do this, instead of short-term planning of every year, we must start to begin a long-term planning process, which would, in the end, save costs because we can plan ahead and also put us in a better advantageous position, so we can move from defensive to an offensive position to bring peace and work our way towards a stable and self-reliant Afghanistan. The Afghan government welcomed the announcement at Warsaw by NATO that they will continue to support the Afghan security forces for the next 4 years, and then most recently at Brussels on civilian aid to the Afghan to Afghanistan for another 4 years. We are hoping that we can start to plan more long-term support to Afghanistan, so that it can be easier for us to plan ahead, and also for all our partners who are in this with us together.
Your country's national unity government has been in power for over 2 years. I wonder if you could tell us about what you see as some of the progress that has been made over the 2 years.
Ben, there has been tremendous amount of progress the Afghan government has made, the country as a whole, where we today have about 9 million children in school alone, right? That includes 40% girls. We have 135 universities today, both public and private. There are hospitals. Every community has access to healthcare and education. We just launched our Citizens Charter program, which creates this social bond between the people and the government, in providing basic services to all of our population, both rural and urban. in during this process, infrastructure built. Last year, we inaugurated one of our first dams for more than 40 years since the war began. We hadn't had a big infrastructure project that was launched, which would irrigate about 80,000 hectares of land, providing opportunities for agriculture, opportunities for creating new jobs, and of course more economic prosperity in the country, but also bringing in electricity to the most to the areas that it will in the nearby. In terms of institutions, Afghanistan today has both democratic institutions in place and civil services who are able to provide to the Afghan public. And that is something that we don't hear a lot about. We understand that most of the focus in the news today is the war, and that is natural. That's what makes the headlines, and that's what people want to hear. But thanks to the American people, we have made tremendous amount of progress at the same time. Today we have a very active democracy where we have very deep political and policy discussions about the future of Afghanistan. Most of these discussions are perhaps not new to your American audiences, but are new to Afghanistan, where we're talking about how do we do election reform. So what would be the best way to draw boundaries so that we can have better constituencies and for our members of parliament and have a better voice in for the people.
If you've just joined us, my guest this half hour is the current ambassador to the United States from Afghanistan, Hamdullah Mohib, and he is visiting Des Moines this week as a guest of the Greater Des Moines Committee on Foreign Relations. You are visiting Iowa days before a general election, and it will be decided our choice of president for the next 4 years. How do you see that choice shaping Afghanistan's future, Ambassador?
Well, the United States is Afghanistan's fundamental partner, both in economic prosperity and regional stability. So it's important for us, and we're watching the U.S. election very closely, as many other countries are doing so. But we have an added advantage, and that is the Afghanistan and the United States have a strategic, what we call the strategic partnership agreement. We also have a bilateral security agreement, and those are the agreements that define our cooperation. So there is relative stability, even though I'm sure there will be some changes with the new government, but a lot of what will be taken forward will be within the context of those agreements that we have already signed.
Stability regardless of who is in the White House, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Well, we hope that the United States has an established system and established democracy. We're new, and hopefully we'll be able to continue as planned, and we will take the discussion forward on how we can better position ourselves to be better partners for stability.
Mm-hmm. Can you foresee a time when Afghanistan and U.S. troops are completely out, when Afghanistan is a peaceful, self-reliant anchor of stability in the Southeast Asia region? And if so, when?
Well, Afghanistan presented its road to self-reliance strategy in London last year at the start of the National Unity Government. That was the roadmap that the Afghan government plans, and we estimated a 10-year process where we're working on economic stability. We're also launching as that process and creating jobs and opportunities for our people, but also diversifying our economic portfolio so that we can build on our assets. This includes the agriculture field, where we're some of the what I mentioned earlier about launching these new dams and creating new agricultural facilities is to improve our food security in Afghanistan so that we're self-reliant in terms of food and we can start exporting fruit and other agricultural produce. But we're also looking at reforming our government, and we have done so. In the past 2 years, we have managed to increase our revenue by 22% by reforming our income-generating processes. That includes customs and our taxpayers' offices. And we're also working on making it better and easier for people to do business in Afghanistan. So we have, in the past year, joined the World Trade Organization, and as part of that process, we passed 21 laws and procedures, and we're working on passing the rest to make it easy for people to do business in Afghanistan. We also have, Afghanistan is very rich in terms of mining opportunities there, and we're working on putting in the legal framework for us to be able to benefit from what we have in terms of resources.
Ambassador, your country is very young, its population very young. 75%, I'm seeing, of the population in Afghanistan is younger than 35, and I believe that includes you. You are not even 35 as ambassador, correct?
That's correct, yes. We're a young demographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is your hope for the next generation? How does that shape the future when so much of the population is so young?
Well, it presents a great opportunity. The Afghan population unfortunately went through a lot of miseries. We have seen at least four revolutions that in our lifetime, which we've seen up close and have experienced all the ups and downs from communism to the rule of the Mujahideen and civil war and the rule and extremist rule of the Taliban and now a democratic transition that we have recently had. So we have seen what our country was and how it has changed over the years, but also learned from our own mistakes and how we can fix it. The Afghan population today, the vast majority of us are working extremely hard and are dedicated to ensure we return stability to our country. And we do that through different means. The Afghan public and this generation that you mentioned is technologically savvy, culturally sophisticated, educated, and very global, globalized in terms of its thinking and its information about where we stand in the world. So it is a great opportunity, but a demographic that young can also be a threat. So we want to make sure that these young people have opportunities, have jobs, and can contribute to the country in a positive manner.
With the few minutes we have remaining, Ambassador Mohib, I wanted to have you talk a little bit about your background. In reading about it, I find it fascinating. You were born in the early 80s, the youngest of, is it 11 children in a small mountain village north of Jalalabad?
Absolutely. I think you will find that in common with many American families, too. I see a lot of our friends in the U.S., I see you also have big families, and that's something we have in common. Americans and Afghans are people of family people, and we're people of faith. We work very hard, and we pride in our culture and our independence.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of also back to the election year discussion here? We've had some people who will bring out anti-Muslim sentiments here in the United States. And of course, Afghanistan is a Muslim country.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to work together at a time instead of being divided. We have all got to work to build a better world for all of us. We have seen that instability in one part of the world affects us all directly. And prosperity in the same manner, and stability also brings us all advantages. And we've seen that up in practice in not very recent past. So from where we see it, a country that has been fraught with lots of problems in the past 40 years, we think instead of using these what divides us in to focus on what unites us together.
Mm-hmm. You are ambassador to the U.S. from Afghanistan now, but I understand as a young boy you lived in a refugee camp?
I did, yes. I was a refugee and was for a big part. I lived under the civil war and, like I said, under the Taliban. So we have seen a lots of different changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You went on to get a degree in computer systems engineering.
I did. Yeah.
In the UK.
Yeah, and one of the first things when I went to the UK and I was sitting in a class where I was at a community college, and the first thing the teacher said that I still remember is people from refugee backgrounds and very difficult backgrounds come and end up getting university degrees, and that moment I thought, well, probably the very lucky ones. But I ended up being one of those lucky ones. With hard work, one can achieve. And I think I've learned that through my life, that one can, if you work hard and set your mind at it, you can achieve almost the impossible.
All right. Yeah. Afghanistan's ambassador to the United States in Des Moines this week, Hamdallah Mohib. Thank you very much for coming into our studio.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you.
And that does it for this edition of River to River. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.